I do. Let me get my glasses on. See if that Mona Lisa woman's on here. She's not. Made in China. Oh, well. Boy, it's good to see all your smiling faces and everybody else that's here in the service tonight. He dashed me a while ago talking about the Eiffel Tower. I thought Verizon had bought it out. It's amazing. We've never made you'll just have to get used to my hacking. It's just what I do now. I get more attention this way. But I've never been over to France before. Been over to England. Me and my sweetheart went with Brother Don Ingram. Y'all know him? And his wife. And that was an experience. That was an experience. And coming back, we were five of us in one row in that plane. Brother Don Ingram, he was just sitting in a couple of the chairs. And I was sitting by him. And my wife was sitting next. And then Sister Ingram was sitting next. And down on the far end was this little bitty boy who was so plain sick. He had that little puke bag out. Well, every time he got sick, Don went to gagging. So I basically just stick with Walmart now. It's just a whole lot easier to get there. So good to see everybody, really, and glad that my sweetheart was able to come out. And this is the one meeting that I did not, could not, should not, would not erase my name off of. I took five or six others and called the guys and told them to call somebody else, get somebody else. And I know you all are fixing to start a great revival here with the Boyds. And he preached our May meeting last year, and he's coming back this year to try to get it right. And we're just a wonderful time. Brother Robbie sat over here. He visited us one Sunday morning. And you know how you are when you pull up in your parking lot and there's a strange car out there. You know what I mean? So the first thing runs through your mind is, what do they want? How much do they want? And so I looked at the license plate, and it said New York. So I went on alert, but it was him. It was them in a car from New York out of Oklahoma sitting in Missouri. You ask him about that. When you get it figured out, tell me what he did. But love them, appreciate them. The pastor, his wife, brother and sister Tolliver Elder, Senior, sitting down here on the front row. Just appreciate them so very, very much. And everybody. Good to see Brother Billy Ray Hudson. Coldest revival that we ever held was at Brother Billy Ray Hudson's church. They put bales of hay around the bottom of our trailer to keep it from freezing. And we had to take the hair dryer outside, lay it on the tire well, so after church, we could plug it up and thaw out the door to get back in our travel trailer. I ain't joking you. You know, my wife usually could take care of that, but that time we even had to have a hair dryer for that one. You'll get it. Just take a minute. It'll dawn on you. we are in a wonderful motel. They've got us fixed in such a great place. I've already been packing some of their towels up. And just wonderful. I got something here. I got some. Brother Birch, I need you to go get those for me and just kind of, I got something I want to. All of you are welcome to listen, even you folks, almost outside there, you're welcome to listen. But one night in a open-air tabernacle meeting, I pulled up outside and wasn't married yet, nothing. I pulled up outside and I got out of my vehicle and I picked up my saxophone. And I carried it into, and this is something that just is really very hard on me, because this is one of the first meetings of my life that I haven't been able to bring my saxophone with me. But I took my saxophone in, and we set it up. And the service started like it did, and I was kind of footloose and fancy free and young and careless and reckless. And the last thing on my mind in that service that night was the thought that I was going to have a life-changing thing that happened to me. That was the last thing on my mind. I didn't go there for that. I wasn't there for that. I was there for the fun and the concession stand and all the kids and driving my car over there and just, but I had a life-changing experience that night. I don't know. I want you to grab your Bibles, and I want you to look in the book of Deuteronomy. And this just for my wife now, you all are welcome to listen. But if you see me, getting a little wild, just stand up and I'll shut up. If I don't go play basketball, will it hurt y'all's feelings? But is it okay if I don't? Okay. I hate to make you youngins look bad. Book of Deuteronomy, it's chapter number 4. And this is what the Bible says. Scan right on down them little verses. Don't stop at 1. Don't stop at 8. Don't stop at 14. Come on with it. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Don't stop at 25. Don't stop at 28. But listen to this next one. Verse 29. But if from thence, if from there, if from thence, if from now on, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, Father, if you'll touch for the next few minutes, got something important here. Touch us. Lay your hand on us. Give us grace. We'll thank you for it. In your lovely name we will. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, amen. Y'all can be seated if you can. It's been a few years back, or a few months back. We get a little West Plains newspaper, and we also get the Springfield, Missouri newspaper. And in both of those newspapers, ours and theirs. They had this humongous article about two Mormon boys who had given 2 years of their life, and they'd spent part of the time up in Springfield. And when I read it in our local paper, they had now moved to West Plains. And in the course of that article, it said that these two boys give 2 years of their life. They stay together. They travel together. They don't get themselves in a compromised position. When they move into a town, they go to the home church there. They take their meals with different families of that home church. And that home church board gives them contacts that these boys take and leave and are going all day long, knocking on doors and asking people, you know, do you want to join our cult? Would you like to be part of our group? And all down through that. And in one of those articles, one of those boys made this statement. He said, you know, it's really funny. He said, but sometimes people think that we're the ones that need to get saved. Well, you know, he may have been closer to the truth than what I really know. But I know this one thing. Everybody in this room that has given 2 years of your young life to go to some community with a friend, eat at our houses, visit our town, knock on our doors. Any of you that have done that, I would like for your next town to be West Plains, because we could really use you. Since I can't hardly get my church folks to do that, I figure I can get some. Don't everybody jump up and shout at once. I wanted Brother Tolliver. I wanted to get a text out of the Bible that was, you know, relative, so after service you could go home and look through the Greek and the Hebrew and get it all fixed up. And so this is my title, and you can look for it in the Bible later. But I want to talk to these young folks tonight about the gospel according to five suitcases. That's someplace in the book of Zerubbabel. You'll find it one of these days. The gospel according to five suitcases. Now, Brother Billy Ray Hudson said a while ago that I preached Bristol that year with staples. I had to get those removed. I was going off at every airport, and when I'd go into Walmart, they were checking me going and coming. So I had to get the staples. I had to get them taken out. Had to. But the night that he was there, and I preached Bristow on that night, I just let it go down in the annals of time and time and time again. I gave it everything that I had. Yeah. I put my heart into it. Don't jump up. You're going to ruin something. When Jesus made entrance into this world, he did not come into this world to simply be a healer or to simply be somebody that was stirring up the rabble or somebody that was trying to cause some kind of insurrection. He came into this world to bring the heart of God in a human body so we could see what it looked like to put your heart into living for God. That's what he showed us. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. But when you've got your heart into it, you're happy if you don't have anywhere to lay your head. He would stand up in the synagogue. He would stand up and look at all of the elders and all of the great people in the synagogue. and ask them questions that would absolutely send them into orbit, that when he walked out of that room, people would say, that man's got a different heart. There's something in his heart. Don't jump up. The entrance of Jesus into this world brought us the heart of the gospel. And I am watching a generation, a church world, pulpiteers, men that can knock a sermon out into the ballpark and run out and catch the ball themselves, slide into home and still cash the check before they get home that night. I'm watching it. Now let me tell you what else I'm watching. I'm watching folks that are learning how to have church without heart. They're learning how to preach without heart. They're learning how to step up to the podium, pick up 4-4 time, 3-4 time, 2-2 time, and step back and sing like a mockingbird. And when they're finished, all we can say is, boy, that was good singing, but I didn't feel nothing. When that little choir got up tonight, they are not as big as the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That little choir that sung tonight, they're not as big as the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And let me tell you what they are. They were heart and soul on this platform. And we felt something. Yes, we did. We felt it. I'm battling. Not just me. Not just my health. Not just a fight every time I walk up a stair or get up on a platform. I'm fighting the generation of the half heart. If you are a half-hearted board member, resign. If you're a half-hearted Sunday school teacher, resign. If you're a half-hearted choir leader, resign. If you're a half-hearted evangelist, sell your trailer. If you're a half-hearted pastor, walk away from the pulpit and turn it over to somebody that may not be able to read every word but can feel the fire every time they read it. I'm looking at a generation. I'm watching a generation. I mean the great men and women of history. It was not a half-hearted effort for Orville and Wilbur Wright to start that first airplane and taxi down that runway. And you're not going to fly either with a half heart. I know that when the cure for polio first came out on the scene, it was because there was a man that put his whole heart in the cure. And I'm watching a generation of whatever, however, they answer you with a shrug of their shoulder. What do you think about church? What do you think about the preaching? What do you think about the sermon tonight? You don't just need an altar, you need a chiropractor. You got a nerve in your neck that's causing you all kinds of trouble. That happens with the half heart. Debbie Anderson. Do you know Debbie Anderson? The Debbie Anderson that I know. She was skinny, ugly, basically, and smart. I mean, when we could talk our teacher into grading on the curve, she always straightened the curve out. She was always 100%. You know, I'd walk down the hallway on my way down to the gym to enjoy the pep rally. So stupid. She'd be sitting in the library reading. You know how dangerous that is? I mean, you're liable to pick up something that'll help you. I was going down that hallway. She was the 100% on the top of the list. Student council, number one this, number one that. One day I just asked her if I could see her report card to see what one actually looked like that didn't look like the entire alphabet. You ain't never got a Z in all your life? No, shut up, you don't know. There was just something about that girl. She put her heart into science and biology and photography, and I tell you, I absolutely positively just couldn't hardly stand her because I was on the other end of the spectrum with some of the rest of y'all. Don't sit there and look like a genius to me. If your wife hadn't got you here tonight, you'd still be looking for the church. Listen. I'm telling you, I know that there's a generation that goes to our church that are just enough to get by. They're just holy enough to get by. They read just enough of their Bible to get by. Have you read your Bible today? Yes, I have. Front cover says Bible. Wow, you are a scholar and a theologian and slouchy in your heart for your dedication to God. Because I'm telling you, a half-hearted young folks, they'll never make that tried and true vessel unto honor that God's a looking for. And the night that I became that young person, I didn't go to church expecting it. I didn't go to church thinking anything about it. It just happened that night. And what happened was simply this. Before the service was over, he changed my heart. It changed the type of girls I was interested in. It changed the type of music that I was interested in. It changed the kind of places that I was interested in. My saxophone never played another round of "Please Release Me, Let Me Go." No, but since then, it's played a couple of rounds of "When the Battle's Over, We Shall Wear a Crown." It changed my heart. I would love to tell you that by marrying that little holiness girl, boy, that's all it's going to take. But if you don't have a change of heart, you're heading down a rocky road. I'd love to tell you, little girl, that just going to Export, Neosho, some Bible college is all it would take. But I tell you regularly, we get a call from a young lady in Pennsylvania who met her boyfriend and married her husband up there at Export, who left her years and years and years ago. If your heart ain't in it, the length of your sleeve, if your heart ain't in it, the very essence of your standard, if your heart ain't in it, the minute you get an opportunity, you will show that you really are just kind of half-hearted about this whole thing. Just enough to keep Brother Daryl off my back. Just enough to keep my tithing in order so I can vote. Just enough so I can do the job that I'm supposed to do. I mean, that's how people live in our churches nowadays. They put just enough in the offering to say, I put something in there. They put just enough in the missions to say, I put something in there. They come to the house of God, and you know, there are some people. I had a boy at my church last Sunday out in the lobby. They come and got me. They said, "Pastor, some boy out there wants you." And not really. He really didn't want me. What he wanted was money for me. And I walked out there and I said, "How you doing, man?" He said, "I'm doing fine." He said, "I need some help." And I said, "You really do?" I said, "Church has been over for about 20 minutes. We've already been here and heading out the door." And he said, I need money. for some smokes. Oh, he can do that without money. All he's got to do is keep living like he's living right now. He'll have all the smoke that he can deal with. Just enough to get by. Just enough to get in. If I don't pray through at least every half a revival, or if I don't at least make some kind of effort in every meeting to act like I want the Holy Ghost, these people are going to start gathering around me, trying to shake the Spirit in me. Yeah, we are dealing with half-hearted people and half-hearted generations, and just enough so I can keep playing. Just enough so I can keep playing my guitar on the platform and the pastor not set me down. Just enough that I can still be in the choir and the pastor or his wife don't have to set me down. Now don't jump up and run, because then I'd have to go to hollering, and I cannot holler. But I can tell you this, that half-hearted spirit that's got a hold of us is killing our camp meetings, killing our altars, killing the move of God in the house of God. I got more books in my library than I will ever get colored. I'm telling you, Crayola don't make enough for me to color all the books that's in my library. I got guys down there by him. I got guys down there by them, and probably got a few down there by Shem. But I'm telling you, right here and right now, just to come into the house of God and step back and say, I'm here to seek you with all my heart and all of my soul. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. So when Jesus came to reveal the character of God, he wanted our hearts to be a reflection. And while we will jump up and say, I want to reflect holiness, I want to reflect energy, I want to reflect excitement, I want to reflect. You also got to notice that when Jesus came into this world, he brought the other heart of God that also causes us to hate sin as much as we love the heart. Something inside of if you're sitting in this room right now and there's not something about abortion that absolutely just causes a loathing to rise up on the inside of you, your heart ain't in this. If you're sitting in this congregation and little prostitutes in this world can die lost, laying in a gutter out in some forsaken place, and it doesn't cause you to have a moment of tear or trial, your heart ain't in this thing. This ain't just about what we love. It's also about what we hate. We hate the very flesh that's marked and pocketed by sin. Oh, it's okay. We don't want to be judgmental. We just want to have love. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Jesus had that hanging on the cross when he looked over at the thief and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But he also had the hate of sin, because the thief still died for his crimes. Don't jump up and shout at once. That same gospel of love is just as alive for it to get down inside of our heart and us hate what sin does to our children, hate what sin does to our churches and our marriages and our families. One of the fastest growing businesses in West Plains is tattoo parlors. I tell you, I stood in line the other day 20 minutes and just give up. went on down to McDonald's to get a sweet tea. Don't everybody jump up and shout at once. I'm telling you, there's stuff like that going on outside the walls. Some of our young ladies and our young men, radio dials set even now to things out in their vehicles that they'll be listening to going home that has nothing to do with righteousness or holiness. I hate that. I hate that. I hate that. I hate the attitude that some of our teenagers get when they grow up a little bit older and look and say, you ain't going to tell me what to do. No. I hate that. I hate that. You're not going to tell me how to live. You're not going to tell me how to look. I know it, but I hate that. Now be careful, brother. We've got to love them. I know it. I know it. And I'm going to love them all the way down and get up in a pulpit and look at them and say, I hate what you're letting happen to your heart. I hate it. I hate that shade that you're pulling down over your heart. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But let me show you what Jesus... Let me tell you this. Let me tell you. I better just stay up here. I'll come down there in a minute, but I'll have to come back, and it's an effort. You really need to get an escalator from here to Sepulpa. Let me tell you something else Jesus did. He come on the scene, and he said, Let me show you what the heart of God looks like. Okay? Show me. It's like an old fella that watches one of his boys leave home with his inheritance, waste it on riotous living and waste it on prostitutes. It's what? And still be standing there waiting for that boy to come back down the lane. That's what the heart of God really, really looks like. Let me tell you what the heart of God looks like. It looks like a lady that has lost a very valuable coin, and she goes to sweeping until she can find it. And when she finds it, she turns around and says, why ain't you all shouting with me? I'm telling you, that's what the heart of God really, really looks like. And yet we come into the house of God and think with a half heart, He should heal us. He should fill up our altars. We think with a half heart we ought to be the next great evangelist that takes every youth service by storm. I tell you what we need to be. We need to be people that recognize that if we're not seeking Him with all of our heart and all of our soul, we're missing it. Listen, listen, listen. I know the lame were healed. I know they were. I know Peter walked on water and he... I know they were. I know those things. I saw them in the scriptures. I did. And I know that if God wanted to come down in this service tonight and touch me, straighten my heart out, and kill this thing that's growing in my lungs, He could do it. But I also know this. Just in case He goes on to the cross. And just in case He allows Himself to be crucified. And just in case He allows Himself to be buried. Just in case. I want to remind you. If you got your heart into it, you ain't going to lay there forever. I just want you to know if you got your heart in it, you ain't going to be sick forever. You're not going to have to fight it forever. You're not going to have to face it forever. No, it don't have to be that way. It don't have to be that way. It don't have to be that way. You know who disappoints me at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle? You know who disappoints me? Everybody in my church. Who, when the Spirit of God moves, they don't even recognize that it's happening. Honey, I'm starting to feel half mad and half anointed, and I'm too sick to be that way. Pray for me. There's just something about you being more interested in your phone than your Father. It just flies all over me. There's just something about the fact that we can be distracted in a church service by a thousand other things and miss the dove when he flies right into the building and tries to land on our shoulder. It's a difference between going to church with a half heart and going to church with a whole heart. I think at this very moment, sitting down that hallway all the way to the back, the Holy Ghost could fall on a fella back there. Him come shouting out through there, come shouting down this aisle. I believe in stuff like that. I really do. I also believe that we can sit in a building with this bigger crowd and get more excited about after church than we do during church. But I'm going to tell you, right here and right now, there's a heart of God that's looking at the heart of His people. And if we could just get our hearts melded into His, somebody with cancer can feel the tumor leave tonight in this house. Some little girl in this house can see a life of devotion and a work of missions. Some boy can feel the call of God in his house. All we got to do is put our heart into it. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to quit, but I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you what I want to tell you. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I don't want you to. Now don't. You quit it. My church is worried. My wife is perpetually worried. I walk up there behind the pulpit and everybody tenses up like I'm fixing to have a stroke with the next breath. And it's possible. I preach to some people that'll stroke you. I mean, just absolutely cause your blood pressure. Some of you resemble that diagnosis too. But I'll get up there in that pulpit and I'll go to preaching. And after church, my wife, she is wonderful. She's not feeling good. She is wonderful. My wife has injected this in me since this has happened, that there's going to be, for a while, honey, you're going to have a new normal. A new normal. Now, my old normal was to preach my guts out until my gallbladder rolled down the aisle and somebody had to go catch a thing and feed it. My old normal was to holler until bells rang, trees was cut down, and a thousand other things. That was my old normal. And this is the hardest thing for me to get across to everybody. Are you ready? I canceled Richlands, Bond, Jersey, Elko. I canceled. But I could not cancel this one little Friday night in Oklahoma because my heart was in it. My heart was in it. There's been a few times that my preaching friends would get me in the pulpit and maybe help get a crowd or maybe help, I don't know, that sometimes I think they called on us, you know, just sometimes because everybody was just so sad and solemn, and sometimes they forget that you can smile and still be holiness. But I tell you what, sometimes I've walked out of pulpits, preached my guts out, pulled myself into the trailer, leaned back, and actually say to myself, my heart wasn't in this tonight like it really needs to be. But my heart's in this tonight. My heart's in this tonight. Now listen. We'll walk back up here, and I'm just about finished this. Just got this little article. Cut it out of the paper. I want you to listen close. If you guys are tired of standing, you can sit down unless you're fixing to take another offering, and then go ahead and obey God. put your heart in. Let me read this. Missionary. Now listen, young folks, this is for you. Some of the older folks have. Missionary Marjorie Browning led a simple life deep inside Brazil. Her home was a mud hut. She had a horse, a small musical keyboard that ran on batteries, the same clothes that she had worn for decades, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, the same clothes. And her main instrument of zeal was her Bible. I got a little picture of Marjorie here. She had tongue cancer. Had to remove part of her tongue, part of her jaw. She long, uncut hair, always in a dress. Browning, she spread the gospel in Brazil for 54 years. She was murdered in her home in that country last November. Sister Marjorie was 82 years old. Now listen. A 16-year-old boy who had twice before tried to rob her sneaked into her home, clubbed her in the head while she was on her knees in prayer. She had declined to report the boy at other times in hopes that he would eventually become a Christian. And you're right. I'm quitting. This is what I want you to hear. Are you listening? How about your heart? I want you to listen. She arrived in Brazil in 1960 and came to feel like Brazil was her home. At her request, she was buried there. The church that supported her said, "She's the only missionary we ever sponsored who asked for funds to buy a horse." It was not a Mustang. A horse. Don't jump up. Shout it once. You're going to ruin this. The church, at her request, raised her $900. She bought a horse that she never named for $400 and sent the other $500 back because she wanted to be honest. Don't sit there and look at me, you Walmart wonder, you. Listen. Sunday school slacker. Listen. Too tired to get there on midweek service night. You listen. She would ride for hours to a remote part of the area of the interior. She had a water bottle, a cowbell, and her Bible. She had a horse, a water bottle, a cowbell, and her Bible. And I told you that she has, this is it. I told you that she had mouth cancer. They took out. She was now living on pureed food in her tiny hut. She did not have electricity. Is there anyone here tonight that came to church without electricity? She didn't have any electricity in her hut. Well, I'll tell you one thing, I wouldn't. I know. That's why she did, and you don't. I said she had no electricity, and she did not have running water. Brother Burgess, lay them over for me and just, when you can, just open them. Let me tell you, you listening? After her death, some of her church family returned to Brazil. Police told them that a juvenile entered her home and had killed her while she was on her knees praying. Listen, I'm done. I'm promising. Listen. Here it is. The possessions of her life filled 5 Everything she had was in the 5 suitcases that she took with her in 1960 when she went to Brazil. The same clothes was in there, the same shoes, the same scarves, the same little jacket. You know what the pastor said? She did not have to have things. What I'm wondering, is there anybody in this service right now? You want to hear the beatness thing? You want to hear the beatness thing? Marjorie, Baptist. Long hair, long skirt, Baptist. My God, is there anybody in this little house right here that can look in my direction and say, you know, I just would like to fill one whole suitcase up with just hearing from God. I'm tired of hearing from the iPad, and I'm tired of hearing from the iPhone, and I'm tired of hearing from the billboard, and I'm tired of hearing from my friends who want me to look like them and dress like them and act like them. I'm tired of hearing from the boys, and I'm tired of hearing about the skull, and I'm tired of hearing. Could I, you know, just one night in my life, I walked into a tabernacle, I heard, and I was never the same again. Wouldn't it be something if somebody could hear tonight? Wouldn't it be something? And I wish, you know, I wish that would be all that was necessary. You know, I wish it would be, you know, that it was all necessary. But I am going to have to tell you that to have one suitcase full of hearing, then you need another suitcase full of everybody, because this message should not be going over anybody's head. Everybody, every age group, every man, every woman, every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, every preacher, everybody in this room ought to take a deep breath and say, my God, I need to put more heart into my living. I need to put more heart into my church and more heart into my... I'm going to guarantee you something. Are you listening? I'm going to guarantee you something. When I come out on the other side of this, I just want you to hear it. When I come out on the other side of this, you ain't seen me put my heart into it. You have no idea. You have no idea. In my closet of trial, in my nights of tears, when I packed up my horn the other night and took it off the pulpit, I really felt like somebody ought to send flowers. But I wanted to remove it because the May Fellowship meeting is coming. And I just stand there and I look at it. I grab it when nobody's at the church. I try to play it when nobody's listening. But I can't right now. Play yours. Play yours. Do you hear me? Play yours. Don't sit there quiet. This is for everybody. Don't sit there at a youth rally because you're 80. This is for everybody. Don't sit there because you're 10. This is for everybody. And the only thing that he's looking for in this service right now is somebody that's available. That's all he's looking for. You know, he's not looking for the next beauty queen of holiness or the next fashion statement to come out of Steinmart. He's looking for somebody that'll just lean back and say, Jesus, use me. 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 He's just looking for one young person to lean back and tell him, Brother Height's having a little trouble here, breathing, living, and he's having a little trouble relating to the young folks like he used to. Jesus, use me, and I'll fill in until he's back. I need somebody that's available. You hear me? I need somebody that's available. I need you to beat your drum. I need you to clap your hand. I need you to say hallelujah. I need you to say glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. We just need somebody that's available. Let me tell you what it'll do to you. Let me tell you what it'll do to you. Gospel according to 5 suitcases. Let me tell you what it'll do to you. You'll get more righteous. You'll get closer to God. The things that tempt you. The things that tempt you and beg you to buy them and wear them and get them and listen to them. They'll get softer and softer and softer as you carry your suitcase and tell God, I got one goal ahead of me and nothing. Today. Today. If any of you boys are dating some worldly, unsaved girl, you're walking a path of destruction. You need to make up your mind today. Some of you girls texting on the internet, some guy that's promising you the moon, making some kind of rendezvous that you're going to meet with him someplace. Today, you need to come out of that. As soon as the revival is over, I got a few things I want to tell the pastor. Today, you should get that out of you. Today, it's 9:30. Don't you know what time it is? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I really, really do. And just to be honest with you, I will deal with this for half of the night. I will. It's just part of it. When you pour yourself into it, it takes a little while to squeeze the juice and fill back up. So it takes a little while. But if you're in this room right now and your heart is not in serving God, I want you to hear me. I want everybody to know it. I want you to get available. I want you to let him make you righteous. And I want you to do it right now. The next missionary to Brazil is sitting in the Holiness Church. The next young evangelist is being called right now in the Holiness Church. The next sanctified young man is feeling a touch of God that he's going to raise his family in the nurture and in the admonition of God and sanctify himself and his household. He's not going to keep living with a half heart. Some young... Father, this is not about church paychecks. This is not about evangelism. This is not about having a new trailer. This is not having a new truck. In fact, it's not even about healing me. It got nothing to do with it. It's about somebody in this room, right here, right now, who recognizes I have not been putting my heart in this. And maybe you haven't because you know he's going to call you to preach. Maybe you haven't because you know he's going to lead you off to Bible school. Maybe you haven't because you know you're going to have to get rid of that girlfriend. Or you're going to have to quit calling and fooling around with that worldly boy. Maybe that's the reason. Or maybe, I don't know, Dad. Maybe you know you're going to have to get more interested in the things of God than the Super Bowl. I don't know. But I know this one thing right here. And right now, one night changed me completely. And I believe that tonight can change somebody in this room completely. All you need is 5 suitcases. That's all you need. 5 suitcases. That's all the wardrobe. It's all the shoes. It's all the books. Plenty of deer rifles. It's enough handguns. It's enough cars. All you need is the basic, full heart to do something for God. And heads are bowed, and nobody's looking around, and we of the Holiness Faith are waiting for Brother Height to say, "Let's all come pray." I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. It's what I am going to do. Somebody in this room that knows it's time, I want you to step out into an aisle. Come down to this front. Raise your hands up to God and tell him, 5 suitcases and a heart of God is all I need to do the will of the Father. And I'm not talking about going home, getting rid of all your purdies and all your stuff. I'm just talking about there's a place in God that you can get that you don't have to have things of this earth real grow strangely dim in the light. I'm looking for somebody in this room. Quick. We got stuff to do. I'm awful tired. Say that song for me, honey. Look full. Somebody. 1, 2. I'm not asking you to be a Mormon. I'm not asking you to give 2 years of your life, leave home, and knock on doors. I'm just asking you to put your heart into living for God. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking.
I want to serve.
Oh, say that, honey.
I will gladly bear the markings of one held captive.
Come on, young folks. Come on, girls. Come on, boys. Come on, Dad. Come on, Mama. We're not in this for the loaves and the fishes. We're in this for the suitcases. We're not in this for the show. We're in this for the suitcases. The gospel according to five suitcases. H-E-A-R-T. Once again. Oh, yeah.
But when the work has been completed,
oh, yeah.
I'll have a service.
Same. Same suitcases. 54 years. Same dresses. 54 years. No water. No electricity. A horse, a cowbell, and a Bible. Oh my God. I want to serve.
And I will gladly bear the mark of one held captive, yet free.
Not my will, but Lord, in your own time, only you can make me serve the Lord. More and more, Lord, I see.
And trusting
only you.
Take all that I have been and give you our will to start. And I'll serve no other master with this servant's heart.
I want to serve.